In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today's Mass is being offered for the repose of the soul of Cipriano and Pablita Flores. Do ask that you would keep in your prayers the Pete Segura from Fort Sumner, who passed away on Monday. His Mass will be offered in Fort Sumner on Friday at 10 a.m. The Scriptures teach us, therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these my commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning I preached on the first reading about Ahab and the great contest on Mount Carmel of Elijah, and how not only were they guilty of the idolatry that says I can make God do what it is that I want to do if I do enough good, so too we must make sure that we do not fall into the same way of trying to be those who manipulate God, thinking that we exercise control over him. By the way, we have a first communicant here, don't we? Jordan, we have you. Now, what commandment does that break, having these strange gods? You need to know what the Ten Commandments are to be able to go to confession, right? It looks like we need a little bit of review on that, right? Yeah, we always need a little bit of review, don't we, on various things. That'd be the second commandment. The second commandment would be that, to not have strange gods, to not have strange gods in that way. Or no, that's rather the first commandment. I said the second. I screwed that up, my bad. You can almost call me a Protestant there, because that's what the Protestants do when they pervert the Ten Commandments. They pretend that the second commandment is, you shall not have strange gods. I apologize on that one. It seems like Father could do with a little bit of review too. So here within the Scriptures, we find something of great import for us, where our Lord asks us, or reminds us, that we must make sure that we are following the commandments of God, following them in every way possible, to make sure that we do not teach others to break even the smallest of the commandments which are there. Because those who do so will be least in the kingdom of heaven if they even make it. We even make it in that way. I want to share with you something, and to pay good attention to this, Jordan, before we get into it. This is St. Teresa of Avila, one of the great saints of the church. And how old are you? 9 years old. So when Teresa of Avila was not much older than you, she so much wanted to be with our Lord Jesus for all eternity that she ran away from home. Not to run away from her parents or anything negative like that, because she wanted to go down south where she knew that there were people who hated Jesus. And thereby going there with her little cousin Rodrigo, who was even younger than her, about your age, they would go and find these people who hate Jesus and would try to go there and preach to them who Jesus is, and then hope that they would be martyred on the spot. She said, when her uncle caught up to them on foot, because they weren't that far away, just a couple of miles in the fields, said, why would you do such a thing like that? You know what she said, Jordan? She said this. She said, well, because I want to see God. And for this, I must die. I want to see God. And for this, I must die. What great faith that she had, even at a young age, knowing that if she was going to see God face to face, and she wanted to see God face to face, that the only way she could do that in perfection would be to die. What a great and glorious, courageous soul this was. This is what she said after many years of religion, of praying with God. She discovered this insight about what real faith is, and I'll give it to you in her own words. She said, once, while I was in prayer, I was given knowledge of a truth that is the fulfillment of all truths. I don't know how to explain this, because I didn't see anything, but I clearly understood that it was the truth itself telling me about itself. Quote, this is no small thing. I do for you, Jesus said, because it is one of the things for which you owe me a great deal. For all the harm that comes to the world comes not from knowing the truths of Scripture in clarity and in truth. Not one iota of Scripture will ever fall short. End quotation. St. Teresa of Avila continues saying, to me, it seemed that I had always believed this, and that all the faithful believed it. And yet, Jesus told me again, continuing, saying, quote, alas, my daughter, how few are they who faithfully and truly love me? For if they loved me, I would reveal to them all my secrets. Do you know what it is to love me truthfully? It is to understand that everything that is displeasing to me is a lie. By the beneficial effects, this understanding will cause in your soul to see clearly what you now do not understand. End quotation. And this I have afterward come to realize, says Teresa of Avila, saying, may the Lord be praised because I can understand it. For ever since then, That which I observe as not directed toward the very service of God seems to me to be such vanity and deception that I wouldn't know how to describe the manner in which I understand this. Nor would I know how to describe the grief caused me by those who I see are in darkness about this very truth. But I was left with a feeling of indescribable good fortune, and with the greatest and most authentic fortitude in using all my strength to carry out the least part of sacred scripture. It seems to me that no obstacle could cross my path that I would not overcome for Christ Jesus. These are the words of one of the greatest saints of the church, an amazing, incredible woman of God. And what she is reminding us there is that she wants to fulfill all of God's law, not just the great and big things, but especially the smallest things. The smallest things are indeed the most important things for you and I to be able to fulfill. Each and every one of the commandments, and each one of those things related to the commandments. Now, Sister Anne wants me to tell you something about a particular passage in John chapter 15. She wants to speak to me about a movie that you watched. Do you remember a movie about a grape? You don't remember a movie about a grape? You kind of remember a movie about a grape? Good. Your sister should remember a movie about a grape, because she saw it too. Did the grape eat the other grape? No, that didn't happen. I just made that up. That didn't happen. So the grapes were there. Remember, there's two grapes hanging on the vine, and one grape was doing what? What was he doing? So one grape was hanging out, just enjoying the time, and all of a sudden, this other grape pulled out a very sharp implement and started to do what? Cut his hair? Pretty close. Pretty close. Was going to saw himself off of the very vine. You remember that now? Sawing himself off the vine more and more and more. And what did the other grape do? Did he say, huh, that sounds like a good idea. Maybe that'd be fun. What did he say? He said, stop it. Stop it. What are you doing? Don't you know that that's going to hurt? That's not what it's for. You're going to fall off. That's going to hurt you. And the other grape that was sawing itself off said what? No, it's fine. I'm going to be all right. It doesn't really matter that much. Look, this is fun. This is totally fine to be able to do things like that. And what did you see happening in that other grape that was sawing himself off from the vine? He was changing colors. He was changing colors. Was he changing to bright, vibrant colors? No, really dark colors. Was he even turning more gray than purple before, than as before? And the more and more he went, the more and more he began to cut himself off the dark, the more, less and less light, the less and less energy, the more shriveled he became, so he was no longer looking so much like a grape, but like a raisin. And eventually, he sawed himself completely off the vine. Now, all of that is to say that our Lord says, if you live in me and my word is alive within you, then you will bear much fruit. Because without me, you're not able to do anything at all. And so our Lord communicates that through these grapes, reminding you and I that when we cut ourselves off from him who is life itself, which is the vine, Jordan, then we lose life itself. Now here's a question for you. You got to think about it. This is an analogy. So what causes us to be sawed off of the vine, which is Christ? Which causes us to fall off the vine and no longer have God's life, his love within us. I couldn't hear that, but it was probably correct. You said not something him. Not eating him? Not believing in him. Yeah. It's even more than that. It's even more than that. Because belief is something that's not affected by losing faith and charity. Faith and love are not directly related to one another. Because you can have faith and lose charity at the same time. To lose charity, to lose God's love, what kills that within our lives is actually sin. Sin kills God's charity within our lives. Wipes it out. And what type of sin wipes out charity from our lives? Cuts us off totally from the vine of God. Well, original sin, that's one that's destroyed by baptism. Okay, so I will accept that in the case of Adam and Eve. But what about in the case of Jordan and the Moniz family? That's right. You know it. I knew you knew all these things. That's why I'm just quizzing you on these things. Our daily mass goers know them too, because they hear me preach this exact same sermon or such many times a year. Yeah, so that's exactly right. Mortal sin. Mortal sin cuts us off completely from the vine and causes us to fall off totally from God. And it's in the very same way. In the very same way. And so one of the common ways of committing a mortal sin, every time we do this, we commit a mortal sin. And it's one of the things that some people I hear talking about, tossing it about, even somebody just the other day saying it's not really that important. It seems like a small thing, but it's still a mortal sin to be able to do so. And that's particularly the most common mortal sin that happens here within the church is actually not coming to church, right? Is missing mass intentional. Every time we miss mass intentionally, what it does is it kills the life of God within us, such that The life of God is totally dead within us, and we're on our way to death, even after missing a single Sunday Mass without a truly grave excuse. That happens every single time. And so that's what St. Teresa of Avila was speaking about, saying that even those things which seem the smallest within our lives, those actually are the greatest things, and to make sure that we observe all of everything that we're called to do to follow God, to make sure that we stay upon the vine of Christ. Now today, you are going to receive what sacrament for the first time in your life, young Jordan? What you're here for. It's all right. Yeah, that's right, your first Holy Communion. What a great joy it will be to taste God for the first time in your entire life. When you have our Lord held above you right there, you can look at him. You can speak him face to face, Jordan. You can look at him and speak to him in a more intimate way than ever you've ever been able to do in your entire existence, because he's right there in the tabernacle, right there waiting for you, right there to speak with you. In those intimate moments, as the saints always speak about, Jordan, say those moments of Holy Communion should be the most intimate, the most joy-filled moments of your entire existence on this earth, until, God willing, you make it to heaven and can talk to him not just merely through the sacrament, but cara a cara, face to face, even more intimate than you can be with your own family members. That's how you are to be with Christ, Jordan. And every time you come to Mass, every time you come to Mass, you're able to receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that most intimate way. So when you receive him today, make sure you're conscious of that, of your ability to be able to speak to him within the intimacy of your own soul and receive the fullness of who he is into yourself. Have that conversation with him, just as you pour your life into him, young Jordan. That is the most intimate moment of your life. But today, your teachers, especially Sister Anne, did not prepare you for your first Holy Communion, did she? Not really, huh? She was preparing you for something even greater than that. She was preparing you for not just your first communion, but what comes after your first communion. You know this. And what comes after your second communion? Your third communion. And what comes after your third communion? Your second third communion. That's right. Your fourth communion. And what comes after your fourth communion? That's right. And what comes after your 3,000th communion? That's right, 3,001. We could go on that forever, right, to be able to talk about that. But it's so important to realize that you are made not to make a single communion in your life unless you happen to drop dead and go directly to God right after you make your first Holy Communion today. To make these communions over and over and over again, always within the state of grace, always having made sure that you purified your soul, that you can receive our Lord in a worthy manner in Holy Communion during this time. And so, to make sure that you make every opportunity that you can to receive our Lord, so often within your life. For just as the saints tell us, that every time you receive a Holy Communion worthily, not an unworthy communion, those draw you closer to hell than they do to heaven, but a worthy Holy Communion, what it does is all those, your guardian angel, will take in a mystical way, in a spiritual way, and place them within a ciborium, where they will be reserved in the holy tabernacle that is meant only for you, only for you. And each and every time you receive a worthy Holy Communion, your guardian angel will place that in the chalice, in the chalice, in the chalice, in the chalice, so that when you finally come to God at the end of your life, you are able to present him these worthy Holy Communion and say, here, Lord, here was my gift to you, where you gave to me, and now I return them back to you. Look what an amount of grace I have leveled up for you to be able to show my love for you within this life. That's what the saints teach us. Saints teach you and me the very same thing. So to make sure that you make your worthy Holy Communion frequently, because it is absolutely worthless for you to receive Holy Communion today, if this be but the last time you make a worthy communion, or even the last time you make a worthy communion this week or this month. For our Lord desires to be so intimate with you, and the only place you can ever do that on this side of heaven is here, where God really is, in truth, the only place that he is truly so present in the entirety of the universe, here at Mass, here at God's church, and he waits for you in that tabernacle. Jordan, prepare yourself to receive him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.